From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yes, the time has come once again. Current Sports is filling your ears on this December 4th, 2013. I'm your host, Al Martin. Before I start the show, I gotta give a special shout out to my fraternity. Yes, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. Today is our Founders Day. Can you believe that? Black and gold till the day I die, baby. Shout out to all of my bros listening right now. Well, what a day. We have a lot to get to. As always, Mark D'Antonio receives a well-deserved honor. The Detroit Pistons topped the defending champs, and girls high school basketball tipped off last night. We'll have all of that, and I invite Eastern Michigan graduate and sports reporter for the Lansing State Journal, Brian Callaway. Yes, Brian will be joining me today to talk about the Michigan State football team and MSU women's basketball team. He will join me to talk about that as, of course, the MSU football team preps for Saturday's Big Ten Championship Showdown against Ohio State. We will have that and so much more for you all. Of course, Current Sports, Alex Sharg and I will be driving down on Saturday morning down to Indy to cover that game for you. Again, if you can get coverage right here from Current Sports of that game by visiting WKAR.org. And, of course, we will have a special blowout coverage for you on Current Sports TV for the following week. And don't forget that tonight, this week, is speaking of Current Sports TV, tonight is the night. Yes, Current Sports TV tapes tonight. And you can be in the TV studio audience, folks. Well, my guest on Current Sports will be East Lansing boys basketball coach Steve Fenimore. Fenimore is entering his fourth season at East Lansing High School, where his record includes one regular season championship. Now, recording takes place 6:30 p.m. tonight at WKAR Studios on the MSU campus. Seats are totally free, but reservations are strongly recommended because seating is limited. How do you sign up, you ask? Well, just go to WKAR.org. Click the link that says be a part of the TV studio audience for Steve Fenimore. Once you click that link, it's simple as pie, folks. Go to WKAR.org and sign up totally free. I sit down with East Lansing boys basketball coach Steve Fenimore tonight. You do not want to miss it. He is one of the most competitive coaches around the area and knows hoops like the back of his hand, okay? Again, come out tonight and sign up online at WKAR.org. Well, let's get to the show. Here are your current sports headliners on this December 4th, 2013. Now, for the second time in four seasons, Mark D'Antonio is the Big Ten Coach of the Year, beating out Ohio State's Urban Meyer, Minnesota's Jerry Kill, and Tracy Claus, and other Spartans head coach. He takes the honor for the first time since 2010. While OSU supporters will wonder what the 24-0 Urban Meyer will have to do with the honor, I tell you what, it's tough to argue with an 11-1 record and a perfect 8-0 Big Ten record, especially after last season's tough 7-6 campaign for the Spartans. They really, really rebounded, folks. Now, the Spartans apparently found the inches that D'Antonio stressed throughout the offseason and have easily made the biggest leap in play from the beginning of the year to now, because I'd always tell folks, if you would have told me that Michigan State would be competing for a Big Ten championship right now, today, I would have said you're absolutely nuts, okay? The Spartans apparently found those inches, and D'Antonio pinpointed the Notre Dame game as the season's turning point. And so, of course, they are really only loss of the season right there. He said, quote, "We started clawing our way back in at that point, and I thought we'd have something special," reflected D'Antonio. His team has a chance to make it even more special with an outright Big Ten title, of course, Saturday versus Ohio State. Again, Current Sports will be there, and we'll be giving you coverage. Again, follow me on Twitter throughout that entire week, and I'm going to be tweeting my butt off, folks, at Al Martin, WKAR. Of course, we'll have coverage on WKAR.org and on next week's Current Sports TV. Okay, Corey Philly Brown. Ohio State receiver Corey Philly Brown is not big on Michigan State's no-fly zone. Tuesday, during MSU's press conference, Brown tweeted, quote, "No fly what?" The no-fly zone is the nickname that MSU defensive backfield they call themselves. Now, Brown followed up with, "We fly whenever we please." There were also tweets responding to Corey Brown's tweet from fans, Ohio State fans, talking about, "Oh, we have frequent flyer miles," and so on and so on and so on. The teams meet, of course, 8:17 p.m. Saturday at Lucas Oil in Indy. It's going to be an interesting one, but the trash talking has already begun, folks. All right, thanks to the suffocating defense and their ever-present home crowd. Yes, the Duke Blue Devils, they bested Michigan 79-69 in the Big Ten ACC Challenge last night. Now, junior guard Quinn Cook, he scored all of his 24 points in the second half to help propel Duke to the win, but the game was decided on the other end of the court. Duke forced Michigan to miss 17 of their first 21 shots. 17 of their first 21, folks, and held leading UM scorer Nick Stauskas to just 4 points, all on free throws. Nick, of course, Air Canada, he's known for his sharp shooting three-pointers, but he really couldn't get anything going, folks. Freshman phenom Jabari Parker, he had 15 points for Duke, which built an 18-point lead in the second half before Michigan mounted a late rally to tighten the score. Caris LeVert's 24 kept the Wolverines close, but their poor outside shooting, they just went 3 of 13 from three-point range, folks. And non-existing bench production, 11 points total, did them no favors. They are now 5-3 on the year and play Houston Baptist before hosting number 2 Arizona on December 14th. So again, Michigan, they fall to Duke 79-69 in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Of course, tonight, Michigan State, they take on North Carolina at the Breslin Center in their Big Ten ACC Challenge game. Should be an interesting one, to say the least. All right, Pistons cool off the Heat. Brandon Jennings made 2 key plays down the stretch as the Pistons ended the Heat's 10-game winning streak last night, 107-97. I lost my mind watching that game. And I tell you, the Heat, of course, they were missing Dwayne Wade, who got the night off to rest his chronically sore knee. But hey, a W is a W, especially when you're talking about the defending champions. Now, the Pistons had 7 players in double figures, led by Kyle Singler's 18 points on 4 triples. Kyle Singler was in a complete zone last night. Andre Drummond had 10 points and 18 rebounds. Of course, Andre is coming off that historic night against the Philadelphia 76ers, where he had 31 points, over 10 rebounds, 6 steals. I mean, he was everywhere. Andre Drummond was great last night as well. Detroit faces the Bucks tonight and then hosts the Heat again on Sunday, okay? All right, Dave Dombrowski may not be done tinkering just yet. After trading Doug Fister to the Nationals and signing reliever Joe Nathan, the Tigers GM is reportedly taking a long look at free agent outfielder Sin-Soo Chu. Now, Chu, who played with the Reds last season, hit .285 with 21 homers, 54 RBIs, and 20 stolen bases. Now, the lefty outfielder was reportedly seeking a long-term deal and near $20 million a season. The Tigers were also interested in Jacoby Ellsbury. Now, the former Red Sox outfielder who signed with the Yankees 7 years and $153 million. We're going to talk about that in just a sec. Cho figures to try and get a somewhat comparable deal. Man, these baseball players make a lot. Now, after 2 moves that were at least partly made to free up salary room, the Tigers may be spending it very, very quickly. All right, free agent outfielder again, Jacoby Ellsbury, he reached an agreement on a 7-year contract with the New York Yankees. The deal, again, $153 million over 7 years, and includes an option for an 8th year that could increase the overall value of the contract to, get this, $169 million. Oh my gosh. Ellsbury is coming from the defending champion Red Sox. He hit .298 and led the American League with 52 stolen bases in 2013. His deal marks the 4th largest deal in Yankees history and ranks up with the top fielders nationally. Oh, that's unbelievable. If you compare it, Matt Kemp, of course, his was $160 million in seasons 2012 to 19. Manny Ramirez, his was $160 million also from 2001 to 2008. Ellsbury now is third on the list of all time, $153 million from 2014 to 2020. Unbelievable stuff. You also have Alfonso Soriano on that list, $136 million from 2007 to 14. Vernon Wells of $126 million. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Bottom line, these baseball players just have it made. That's a lot of moolah, folks. Crazy. All right. Granderson to the Mets, possibly? Well, former Tiger and Yankee Curtis Granderson may be on the move. That's across town. The free agent outfielder has seen talks intensify with the New York Mets, who are looking to sign Granderson to a 3 or 4 year deal. Granderson turns 33 this season and has battled injuries of late, but showed prolific power at the plate with 84 combined homers in 2011 and 2012. Now, with the Mets outfield in desperate need of a power bat, Lord knows they need one, Granderson may be the perfect fit. So we'll see how things pan out with that. All right, girls high school basketball tipped off last night, ladies and gents. So much going on, so many games. I'm going to try to give you a recap of some of the more notable action concerning mid-Michigan high school girls basketball. Here are some of the scores. Mason, they topped Lansing Christian 57-27 last night. Carson City Crystal, they topped Staten Central Montcalm 50-25. Charlotte tops Eastern 69-18. Corunna 45, Fowlerville 21. Lanesburg tops Duran 36-29. East Lansing gets a 3-point win. They squeaked one out, folks. East Lansing 51-48 over Lansing Catholic. Michi Thompson and Danny Hansen, they scored a combined 41 points for East Lansing. The Cougars missed on a 3-point attempt with less than a second left. Ellie Denise, she had 15 points for Lansing Catholic. And Chrissy Jerkovich, she added 14 points. So that was a really, really tight one right there for Rob Smith and company at East Lansing High School. DeWitt, they top Everett 65-52. Lexi Benazic, she had 12 points and 11 rebounds to lead the Panthers. Hannah Stoll scored 12 points for the Panthers. And Natalie Nuff added 7 points and 4 steals. Azalea Miller, she scored a game-high 30 points. And Nina Foster added 15 for Everett. Fulton tops Ashley 62-31. Fowler tops Ithaca 42-26. Portland tops Grand Rapids Ottawa Hills 52-25. Eden Rapids gets a W over Hazlitt 57-44. Holt tops Owosso 68-25. Ionia tops Alma 59-41. Bath gets the win over Mount Pleasant 51-48. St. John's 41. Oakham is 40. Oh, that's a real close one as well. PW 45s to Stockbridge 42. That was a very close game. Grass Lake gets the W over Leslie 48-35. Olivet 58. Waverly 49. Perry wins over Burton Bentley 65-29. Dansville over Weberville 45-12. And Belding over Lakewood 54-19. Feels good to have the ball bouncing back on the hardwood when you talk about high school sports. Again, the girls' basketball season. Those are your scores for last night's opening night for the girls' high school basketball season. All right, quarterback Tim Tebow will be a college football TV analyst for either ESPN's SEC Network, CBS Sports, or Fox Sports. Now, Tebow is ready to tackle television. He has ESPN discussing a possible show for Tebow. I kind of saw this coming, folks. I mean, Tebow, obviously, he's given up on his dreams of playing in the NFL again. And, he's a personality that everybody likes to talk about, especially on ESPN's First Take. That's another story, though. Tebow was released by the Patriots in August and seems to have his NFL career finished. So there you have it. He will be a college football TV analyst somewhere. And you got a lot of networks competing for him. Tebow, I guess, is must-see TV. All right, a pretty interesting story here. 50 Thanksgiving weekend travelers. They were actually bumped from a commercial Delta Airlines flight on Sunday so that the University of Florida basketball team could travel to Connecticut for a Monday game against UConn. Now, the Gainesville Sun reports that the Gators' Sunday charter was grounded because of mechanical issues. So the team was placed on another Delta plane that was supposed to fly from Gainesville to Atlanta. Now, that decision displaced 50 passengers, 50 folks, who had to scramble to arrive at their destinations on one of the busiest traveling days of the year. Of course, holidays are done, people trying to get back to their jobs. Some didn't leave Gainesville until, get this, Monday. Can you believe that? Now, Devin Parler, the team's spokesman, told the newspaper that the school had been unaware of the airline's decision. Delta said the passengers were put on other flights and given vouchers for future travel because that totally makes up for getting bumped for on a Thanksgiving Sunday. How about that, huh? Now, the icing on the cake, folks, Florida ended up losing to UConn on a last-second shot. You got to be kidding me. So 50 passengers, many of them probably, you know, their bosses probably ticked off at them for missing work or coming in late to work. And, you know, for this Florida team, and they go to UConn, you would think they win, right? If you go through all that, you want to get the W. All these passengers, they missed their flight to look at a Florida loss to UConn. How about that? Oh, that's tough stuff right there. I would be one angry man if I was one of those passengers who got bumped. Crazy stuff. All right, well, those are your current sports headliners on this December 4th, 2013. If you want to call in and comment on any of those, give us a call at 517-355-9527. And you know what? Today, we are asking all of you to call in and share your thoughts on Coach Mark D'Antonio, who was named Big Ten Coach of the Year yesterday. Well deserving, if you ask me. We'll discuss that later on in the show. Call in and share your thoughts on Coach D. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. You can also like our Current Sports Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, and also follow me on Twitter at AlMartinWKAR. And today I invite a good friend of the show to talk about Coach D'Antonio's award and to preview this Saturday's Big Ten Championship game in Indy. He is Eastern Michigan University grad and Michigan State sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, Brian Callaway. Brian, welcome back to Current Sports. How you doing, brother?
I'm not too bad. How you doing, man?
Very, very good. So first of all, Brian, I just want to get your thoughts on Coach Mark D'Antonio winning the Big Ten Coach of the Year award. Is it surprising at all to you?
Oh, not at all, man. Like I heard you saying, I mean, it's a very well-deserved honor for what he did with this team. I mean, this was a team that last year lost so many close games. It was just a matter of the inches, and he kind of, you know, helped this team kind of find those inches this year. Is something that he's always talked about, as well as just the job that he did managing this team when nobody thought this team had the offense that was capable of doing what it did, and just the growth of the offense throughout the season, and, you know, him turning to Connor Cook and handling that situation, and, you know, finding Jeremy Langford at running back, and just the way he kind of has kind of handled everything this season, and, you know, kind of led Michigan State to its first unbeaten Big Ten season and since like 1966. I mean, yeah, it's definitely a well-deserved honor.
Yeah, without a doubt, Brian. And I want to ask you, because you kind of alluded to it just now. I want to ask you what has been the most surprising aspect of this season for you. Because I tell you what, and I said at the top of the hour, if you would have told me that this Michigan State football team will be, you know, competing for a Big Ten championship, if you would have told me this at the beginning of the season with all that was going on with the QB controversy, you know, all the ruckus that was going on at the beginning of the season, I would have said you're crazy. For you, Brian, what has been the most surprising aspect to this season?
I would definitely say it's the offense. And, you know, like you, I mean, I didn't see this at the beginning of the season. I mean, I think we were looking back at predictions the other day, and I had 9-3, and I didn't think they were going to win the Legends. And, you know, I thought Nebraska was a favorite. But I really think just the way that, you know, the offense has kind of come along and the emergence of Jeremy Langford, who, I mean, in Big Ten play, I mean, he's been excellent for them, you know, 7 straight 100-yard rushing games. I definitely didn't see that coming. And then just the way that Connor Cook has kind of emerged at that quarterback position and kind of grown up as the season's progressed and progressively gotten better. And, I mean, this spring, I mean, we had no idea who would be the person throwing the ball, who would be the person running the ball. There were so many questions about this team. And, I mean, those things have got answered. And, you know, Connor Cook's played well. Langford's played well. The offensive line has played well. I mean, we knew the defense was going to be good, but a big surprise has just been the growth of the offense throughout the year, and especially, you know, Connor Cook, who obviously didn't even enter the year as the clear-cut starter, and then Jeremy Langford, you know, who kind of emerged at running back throughout the season.
Yes, without a doubt. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, I'm talking with Michigan State sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, Brian Callaway. Brian, you know, when you look at this situation that MSU is now in, you know, they play in the Big Ten Championship this Saturday in Indy, and they have a chance, I tell you, to possibly go to Pasadena for the Rose Bowl. Do you think they will, Brian?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think they will. I mean, obviously, I mean, it seems like they could get there either with a win or a loss.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they definitely have the mindset that they do not want to back into Pasadena. I mean, they want to get that way through a win. And Max Bolla was very adamant about that yesterday when he was speaking at Michigan State's press conferences, you know, saying that, you know, the Rose Bowl to him is the thing that goes to the person that wins the Big Ten. And, you know, traditionally the Big Ten champion has gone to the Rose Bowl, and, you know, he kind of wanted to be that way in Michigan State's case. So, yeah, I definitely think that, you know, Pasadena is a very, very likely destination for them and for their bowl.
Yeah, without a doubt. I feel the same way, Brian. And I tell you what, you know, this being the final year of the BCS, I mean, I want to get your thoughts on the BCS. Do you like it? Are you glad it's just kind of finally about to leave?
I'm interested to see just kind of what the playoff brings and, you know, kind of having that, you know, format where, you know, it's kind of played out on the field as opposed to necessarily just by the rankings and the polls and everything like that. So, I mean, I think, you know, the BCS hasn't been all bad, but I mean, I'm kind of interested just to see a new mix on the college football thing, and, you know, kind of like more of a playoff with the, you know, the four team, like the final four kind of feel where, you know, played over a couple of weeks and just to kind of determine a true champion that way.
Right. I'm definitely, I can't wait for it. For me, Brian, I'm so fed up with the BCS. It's unbelievable. I could give a speech on that, okay? But I tell you what type of game are you anticipating this Saturday? What will you be looking for in this game between Michigan State and Ohio State, Brian?
Well, I'm really looking at, I mean, obviously the strengths of both teams is, you know, Michigan State's defense going against the Ohio State offense. But, you know, I'm really interested to see what happens on the other side when Michigan State's offense is on the field against the Ohio State defense. I mean, obviously Ohio State got, you know, torched for over 600 yards by rival Michigan last week and, you know, barely escaped with a win. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, just seeing how they play and how Connor Cook responds on this big stage and how this Michigan State offense will do against this Ohio State defense and that they can move the ball similar to what Michigan did. I mean, I heard that earlier today that, you know, Dave Warner said that Ohio State defense was the best one that they're going to face this season and, you know, thought that what Michigan was able to do offensively against Ohio State was more of a product of what Devin Gardner was able to do. But, and again, that was a Michigan team that had struggled offensively for weeks leading into that Ohio State game and was able to move the ball with much success. So I really think that, I mean, just kind of this game will kind of swing as to how, you know, Michigan State's offense fares against that Ohio State defense.
Yeah, and that definitely has to be encouraging. I mean, seeing what Michigan was able to do against that Ohio State defense, I mean, if you're Connor Cook, I mean, he's got to be feeling pretty good looking at that, just analyzing that game, right?
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, he was asked about that yesterday, and, you know, he kind of alluded to that too. But, I mean, obviously, Ohio State does have some talent on that defense, you know, Shazier at linebacker, Roby at corner. So, I mean, there are some talented guys on that defense, and I'm sure they'll be ready for this Michigan State game. And remember, that game was a very close game last year in East Lansing too, and I'm expecting, you know, something kind of similar to that.
Yeah, we will definitely see. Now, Brian, later on today's show, it's Wednesday, so we have our Barbershop Wednesday debate where we go at it for about 10 or 15 minutes on a certain sports topic. And today's topic concerns the Michigan and Ohio State fight that occurred this past Saturday. And, of course, the Big Ten issuing a statement saying they feel as though they basically kind of reprimanded Ohio State and Michigan verbally, well, you know, through a statement. They didn't issue any suspensions or any punishment or anything like that. I want to ask you, should the players have been punished, whether it be sitting out a half or sitting out the Big Ten championship game, you know, with Dontre Wilson, Marcus Hall, and Royce Jenkins-Stone, those three players being the ones who were ejected from that game. What were your thoughts on that, and do you think the Big Ten should have did more?
Well, I mean, the incident did happen in the first half, so I think, you know, maybe the Big Ten's thinking along the lines of that was that, you know, those players did have to sit out the rest of that game. I think it was the second quarter, so they had to sit out the rest of that game. So, I mean, I think that might have played into the reason that there was no disciplinary action. But at the same point in time, I mean, I think there was four punches thrown. I mean, it wasn't just one punch that was thrown by,
right?
I believe it was Wilson. I think there wasn't just one punch that was thrown. I mean, there was three or four different punches thrown from that. So, And you kind of look into it, the situation with Will Golston a couple of years ago, him and Taylor Lewan in the Michigan-Michigan State game a couple of years ago, where Golston ended up getting suspended, you know, for a game after that. So if you're kind of looking along the lines of that precedent, I mean, you might think that, you know, hey, this Ohio State guy should be suspended for this game. So in that, if you look at it from that aspect, it is kind of interesting that there was no further disciplinary action other than just the public recommendation. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those iffy situations. And, you know, some of the Michigan State players said yesterday that they'd rather play Ohio State when they're at their best. Max Bulla was one of those guys just saying, you know, hey, I'm glad they're not suspended. I want to play them when they're at their fullest strength. So.
Right. Yeah, no surprise Max says that. He's a gladiator, I tell you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I mean, and Brian, can you blame Dontre Wilson, though? I mean, you know, he gets the kickoff return, and it just seems, though, you know, the maize and blue just kind of crowd him, you know, like they're about to jump the guy. I mean, to be honest with you, I probably would have did the same thing Dontre did. I don't know.
Yeah, but in a big game like that, you know, you know there's going to be things like that, and, you know, you just got to kind of control your emotions and not let them get the best of you, kind of like, you know, Marcus Hall did as he exited the field, you know what I mean? I mean, you got to kind of control your emotions in those situations, and, you know, especially for those Ohio State guys, knowing that they had a huge game coming up this next week, and, you know, you got to control your emotions and, you know, handle those situations a little bit better than they did.
Right. Yeah, I probably would have been throwing some bows. Maybe that's the Detroit side of me coming out. Let me hone that right now. All right, Brian, give me a score prediction for Saturday's game. What do you got, man?
Right now, I guess I would say 21-18 Michigan State. And the thing about Michigan State this year is this has kind of been a year of redemption for them as far as the Big Ten goes. All those close Big Ten games that they lost last year, they've beaten those teams that they lost to Iowa in overtime last year, ended up beating them. You lost to Michigan 12-10 down in Ann Arbor last year, ended up beating them. Mm-hmm. Lost to Nebraska at home last year on the controversial finish, ended up beating them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it seems like they're just kind of doing that redemption tour this season and kind of, you know, avenging all those close losses from last year with wins. And I think that they kind of continue that into the Big Ten title game and had Urban Meyer his first loss at Ohio State.
Yeah, we will see. Now, Brian, you also cover the Michigan State's women's basketball team. They're right now 5-2 with losses to Notre Dame and just coming off one to IPFW. Thoughts on this team so far, Brian?
I think the team is very exciting to watch just with their ability to score. I mean, this has got to be one of the better offensive teams that Susie Merchant has coached, and there's several talented freshmen, Tori Jankowska, and Ariel Powers, who I've been very impressed by. Tori Jankowska was the Miss Basketball in the state of Michigan last season, and she's currently leading the team in scoring and has scored in double figures in six of her first seven games. And Ariel Powers coming off double-a-double of 28 points and 14 rebounds and against IPFW in that loss on Sunday. And she's been pretty exciting as well, too. Both of those freshmen have double-doubles this year, as well as Brandy Agee, who's a redshirt freshman from Detroit, too. So that those three players have added a lot to this team this year. And then, you know, they have a solid group of veterans that were returning from last year's team that reached split 25-9 and reached the second round of the NCAA tournament. So, I mean, they're a pretty solid team, and they should be able to do some special things. I mean, the one concern about them right now, and they kind of Susie Merchant kind of alluded to it after Sunday's loss and getting upset at home by IPFW, is the defense side of things. I mean, anyone who knows Susie Merchant, she's a defensive coach, and she prides herself on the defensive end on the floor. And this team really hasn't been playing that well defensively, especially recently. And so that's going to be something to watch for them, especially tonight when they take on Florida State down in the Big Ten ACC Challenge.
Yeah, I tell you what, Brian, I mean, Powers and Jankowska, they have been I think they've impressed everyone who has watched a MSU women's basketball game so far this season. They have been great. And Ariel Powers, I mean, she's coming off 28 points, I believe, in her last game. Do you think she's the number one weapon now? It's safe to say that now, offensively for this team, right?
It's kind of interesting. I mean, before that 28-point game, there was three games where she really didn't do too much offensively, and she's kind of she's struggled with turnovers at times this season. I mean, she had seven last week in the game at Temple, and then earlier this season in the game against nationally ranked Dayton, she had nine turnovers in the game. So, but also in that Dayton game, she was there pretty much the go-to person down the stretch. I mean, she was scoring a lot of baskets. She hit a basket to help force overtime in that game.
Yeah, she did. Yep.
In a way, she kind of is kind of a go-to person offensively because she can create her own shot. I mean, there's not many players on the Michigan State team that can create, get to the basket, drive the basket, and create their own shot. And also, I mean, she can rebound as well, too. So, in a sense, she's kind of a go-to player for them in those situations. I mean, Tori DinCasio has hit some big shots for them, and she was big down the stretch in that Temple game last week. So, I mean, there's a few different players that they can go to down the stretch. But, I mean, I would probably say Powers, DinCasio, Emily Pickrell has shown some things down the stretch of games as well, too, that can be a go-to player for them. She's a senior captain for them. So, I mean, I would say those three have kind of been the main stabilizers on offense so far.
And, Brian, you know, before I let you go, I want to ask about, of course, Madison Williams. I understand I don't know the extent of her injury right now. I understand she tweaked her knee again. What's the status of that injury for Madison?
Yeah, Madison tweaked her knee in last Tuesday's game at Temple. I mean, she was playing in her second game of the season, and she grabbed the rebound, came down awkwardly, asked to come out the game. And they ran an MRI on it last week, and it came back clear. So they're just waiting to hear back from the doctors, and they're just going to hold her out for a little bit. So she's still with the team, which is a good thing. I mean, they definitely, when she made her season debut a couple of weeks ago against Rice, I mean, you could definitely see the things that she can add to this team with her size and, you know, a little jump hook that she has and things like that. So, I mean, she's all right, just be a matter of a couple of weeks, and we should start to see her back out on the court soon.
I really hope so, Brian. But I tell you, that's one kid that just can't, you know, buy any good luck, I tell you. All right, well, there you have it. Of course, MSU, the MSU women's basketball team, they take on Florida State tonight at 7 p.m. in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. There you have it. Brian Callaway, Michigan State sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. Brian, thanks so much for joining me today. You going down to Indy?
Yes, I am. I'll probably see you down there.
Yes, I will see you down there, brother.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
All right, bye.
All right. Well, when we return to Current Sports, we will talk about Mark D'Antonio being named Big Ten Coach of the Year. And call in and share your thoughts on Coach D getting this award. 517-355-9527. We would love to hear your thoughts. Again, that's 517-355-9527. We'll also talk about the Detroit Pistons taking down the defending NBA champion Miami Heat last night. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports is coming right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all once again that Current Sports TV tapes tonight, and you can be in the TV studio audience tonight when my guest is East Lansing boys basketball coach Steve Fenimore. Fenimore is entering his fourth season at East Lansing High School, where his record includes one regular season championship. Recording takes place at 6:30 p.m. tonight at WKAR Studios on the MSU campus. Seats are totally free, folks. Come have some fun with me tonight, but reservations are strongly recommended because seating is limited. Again, that's Current Sports with me, Al Martin. Guest Steve Fenimore, to reserve your free seats to be in that TV studio audience, just visit WKAR.org. All right, right now I'm joined by Alex Sharg and Matt Lutke as we talk about Mark D'Antonio being named Big Ten Coach of the Year. For me, guys, I mean, it was pretty – I was in shock when I heard the news. Mark D'Antonio, I think, for seeing where this ball club has come from the beginning of the season to now, I think he is well-deserving of the award. What were your guys' thoughts when you first heard that Mark had won?
For me, it was no surprise. That was it. You can make the case Urban Meyer because of the streak, but just looking after last year and all the disappointing close losses, him coming back regardless and still pulling it out says a lot.
Well, I think, you know, you look at the year before last, and they're an 11-win team. The year before that, they're an 11-win team. Last year definitely looks like the aberration. And I think those low expectations always help when you're looking at Coach of the Year awards, because it's usually who does better than their, you know, preseason pegged finish. And obviously the disparity there between Michigan State's, you know, preseason prediction record and their actual record is way bigger than Ohio State's. Everybody knew Ohio State was going to be in the Big Ten title game. Just about nobody had Michigan State going there.
Not at all.
So I think that's part of the reason. I mean... You can say, what does Urban Meyer have to do to win the award, considering that he hasn't lost a game in two seasons, which is
that's pretty remarkable.
Ridiculous.
That's crazy, right?
But as far as where they were and just what the narrative was the first month of the season, it's such a huge progression. You can see the team get better every week. I think he's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I totally agree. I wasn't surprised. Again, I wasn't surprised when I heard the news about D'Antonio being named Coach of the Year. I mean, he's done a lot. I mean, if you look at it, just the history. I mean, that's what, three 11-win seasons in the past 4 years here at MSU. And, you know, now they're playing for a Big Ten championship. And, again, I look at the progression of this team throughout this season. Again, at the beginning of the season, nobody had, especially with four or five games in when they couldn't figure out anything offensively, nobody had Michigan State going to the Big Ten championship game, and let alone Rose Bowl talk. And now to look and see, and it's so crazy. Cause I remember when I sat down with Mark D'Antonio, for those of you, because we haven't played the interview on Current Sports yet. I'm actually going to play that interview tomorrow. When I sat down with Coach Mark D'Antonio, you know, when he made up his mind and said Cook is the guy, I believe it was game six or seven, when I sat down with Coach D'Antonio just to get his thoughts on the season, his expectations, that kind of thing. And I tell you what, his faith never wavered in this team. I thought that was something that was so admirable and so remarable. You know, because there was criticism coming left and right, you know, from Mark D'Antonio, you know, questioning his coaching staff, questioning his play calling, his decisions in certain instances. And, you know, each and every week, each and every press conference, you know, D'Antonio would go to that podium, cool as a cucumber, would answer the questions, and, you know, and would take the heat, whatever heat it was. And he was confident that his team was going to, you know, be a good team down the stretch. And that's exactly what happened. And we're seeing that come to light now.
What do you think the biggest heat all season that he took was? Was it the quarterback situation? Was it pulling Andrew Maxwell within the Notre Dame game? I mean, putting in Andrew Maxwell in the Notre Dame game?
Yeah.
Do you think it was more of some off-the-field remarks? What do you think was?
Well, I tell you what, I mean, that if we go back and rewind time at that Notre Dame game and, you know, taking out Cook and putting in Andrew Maxwell, I remember all three of us here on the show questioned, what in the world are you doing? I still do. I still think that was a bad decision, if you ask me. But if I had to say what he took the biggest heat from that entire season was, you know, this entire season, excuse me, was the quarterback situation. I mean, I remember talking to Drew Sharp in the press box and me and Drew talking about, when, how can they not have this figured out? How did they not know who their starting QB is at the start of the season, at the beginning of the season, four games into the season? That was the biggest narrative of this team, you know, at the beginning of the year. The defense, of course, they were there. I mean, Narduzzi has done a great job, unbelievable job with this defense. But, yeah, if you want to ask me what is the biggest, you know, heat, you know, that he took, it had to be that, without a doubt. So
now what I'm wondering is this quarterback situation, since Connor Cook has solidified himself, it's a little bit tricky. Because coming in, you've got J.Ru Campbell in 2 years. You have Chris Durkin.
And J.Ru is actually, he's on his way to Michigan State in about 2 hours, according to his tweet. I just retweeted him. So, yeah.
But you got Chris Durkin coming in. And then you already have Tyler O'Connor and Damian Terry behind Cook. So you're going to have five quarterbacks, a couple of which could start at other programs. And you have to wonder, what's going to is one of them going to transfer? Because Cook's a young guy, too.
Yeah, that is a good question. Because, you know, they had this. I was listening to Drive with Jack yesterday, and
they talked about this, too.
They were debating on whether or not Cook will be the starting quarterback next season.
Really?
Yeah, they had that discussion yesterday. Him and Graham Couch were talking about it. And I tell you what, I've never seen Damian Terry play, so I couldn't tell you. I could not tell you. But I tell you what, if Connor Cook has a great outing in this Big Ten championship game, and then, which I think they will, go to the Rose Bowl and has an incredible outing there and pulls out two W's, I think Cook's your guy no matter what happens in the offseason, at least to start the season next year.
Yeah, and you're talking about these guys in the future like they're going to come in and expect to start from day one. If Damian Terry wasn't even, you know, really seriously considered to start this year when the quarterback situation was as dire as it was, I don't see that happening in 2 years whenever Campbell gets here. Mm-hmm. That he'll just be, you know, I'm going to start now ahead of guys who are more experienced. I mean, everybody gets redshirted the first year they come here anyway. So I don't see that being a huge issue. You want to have, I mean, I feel like most programs try and have four quarterbacks on the roster just to be safe because, I mean, we've seen what happens when none of them turn out and you're just scratching your head looking for answers going 7-6.
Right. Is that at the end of the day, it comes down, you got to earn your way into that starting QB position. I mean, a freshman, like, you know, Matt said, you got to earn your way. If you're a freshman coming in and you think you're going to start, especially at, looking at the history of starting QBs here at MSU, I mean, freshmen, they don't play that first year.
I mean, almost anywhere.
Yeah, anyway,
Jameis
exactly.
Winston redshirted.
Jameis Winston is, yeah, exactly, exactly. That's a perfect example right there. So you got to earn your way. I mean, you know, if Jay Rue comes in here and starts turning heads in practice, I mean, hey, you know, maybe give him a shot. You know what I mean? Damien Terry, like I said, and they were talking about Damien Terry yesterday. I mean, I haven't seen him play. I'm just going off that scrimmage that everybody brings up where he looked unbelievable. I have to see more of him play. But like I said, I think regardless of how Damien Terry plays, you know, in practices and spring training next season, whatever. If he does turn heads, if Connor Cook goes out there and handles business these next two games, at the Big Ten Championship, and I believe when they make it to the Rose Bowl, I think you can put it to bed. Cook is going to be the guy at least to start the season next season.
Right. So Cook's a sophomore now. There's junior year, senior year, and I'm not saying a freshman, you know, he comes in expecting to start, but will Tyler O'Connor and Damien Terry wait 3 years and only be able to play for 1 year?
I wouldn't be surprised if one of them transferred.
That's what I'm saying.
I think O'Connor would be the guy if you had to pick one out.
Yeah,
Terry will have 2 years.
Right, right. I wouldn't be surprised if one of them transferred, to be honest with you. I mean, because that's frustrating. You know, that's frustrating. I mean, they feel as though, I mean, their quarterbacks too, they feel as though they had the ability to be the starting quarterback as well. And, you know, and Tyler O'Connor was not bad.
And it's not like it hasn't happened before.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
Nick Foles was a Michigan State Spartan.
Right. Right. People forget that.
Yeah. I mean, they.
Yeah. Totally agree. Totally agree with you guys on that. Okay. You know, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some Pistons Heat and have a brief barbershop Wednesday. Did the Big Ten make the right move in deciding not to punish the athletes involved in the OSU Michigan fight? Call in and give us your thoughts. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Don't touch that dial. Current Sports returns in just a second. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I believe we have a caller right now. Ray is on line one. Ray, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving.
You too. Same to you.
I hope you had a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Hey, that state, the big one coming up Saturday, I'll tell you, you got a great defense and they got a great offense, but the thing I noticed, Braxton Miller doesn't throw the ball all that great. I think you guys got to stop that running attack and maybe force him into throwing the ball.
Yeah, I totally agree, Ray. I mean, that's going to be – I mean, we all know Braxton Miller. I mean, he's got legs like a running back.
Right.
I think that's the best aspect to his game, and I think that MSU defense is definitely going to have to – I think it's going to – the key matchup, I think, in this game that really I'm going to be looking at is Darqueze Dennard and Trey Waynes. If they have a great game and shut down those receivers – you know, I think that will allow MSU to kind of load that box and make sure that they force him to throw the ball.
You got a great defense. Do you have many of your players coming back for next year so you can beat up on Michigan again next year?
Well, it's too early to tell, Ray.
Okay, well, hey, you know, wouldn't it be funny? Michigan lost 42 games in the last 7 years, and David Brandon is one of the biggest liars I've ever seen. Wouldn't it be funny if they put Rich Rodriguez and Arizona Cardinals against Michigan, 7-5, both of them?
Right, that'd be crazy if the Wildcats. That'd be really, really. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be interesting? That
would be very interesting. I think that would be the storyline, you know, Rich Rod, you know, and that is the storyline in that game, if it happens. Well, that would be very interesting if that happens, Ray.
Rich Rodriguez against David Brandon, the athletic director, they both lie. You know, they're both liars, so that becomes
twosome. Hey, Ray, you the man. Thanks a lot, Ray.
All right, buddy. God bless.
All right. Woo! Ray is always interesting when he calls in, I tell you.
He's right, though. That would be a really fun matchup.
Ooh, that would
if
be.
Michigan played Arizona.
Playing his former boss. Rich Rod is playing his former boss.
I'd watch that game.
I would tune in, definitely. We have another caller online. When, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hi. How you doing, guys?
Very well.
I have a question in regards to the fight. I need your expert opinion here, and I'm sorry. I just turned on if you already covered it. I understand they're saying the guys that were kicked out, oh, they've suffered, they're not going to do any more. And But my question, and I know they say, well, the offensive guys are there because it was a kickoff and the offense was coming on the field. But I know the Big Ten reviews the film. Obviously, they did last year. That's when Will Golston was to sit out a game because they reviewed the film and saw his punch.
Mm-hmm.
What about, like, Miller, the quarterback, and some of the other guys who, like, grabbed a face mask and all that? They weren't kicked out of the game at that time. Wouldn't the Big Ten review that, and that be a cause for concern as far as possibly sitting them down for a half or whatever?
Right. Hey, you stole my point. That's exactly. Well, we're just now. You're calling in at the right time because we're just now getting to us. Thanks for the call.
Okay, and I'll get off the air. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. You know, let's just dive right into it, guys. Barbershop Wednesday. Did the Big Ten make the right move in deciding not to punish the athletes involved in that OSU-Michigan brawl? I believe with second quarter, I think it would happen. Yeah, in the second quarter. You know what? Our caller brings up a great point because, you know, looking at that video, now there were three players that were suspended, or ejected, thrown out the game. Dontre Wilson, Marcus Hall, and Royce Jenkins-Stone. Those three players were thrown out of the game. Looking at the footage of that brawl when it ensued, Dontre Wilson, of course, returns the kick. He goes down. You have a slew of Michigan players surrounding him, really crowding him. He tries to get up, you know. Then it starts right then and there. Some shoving happens. Some players even ran off the bench. I remember the announcer saying that some players even ran off the bench and to come and push around and throw some punches here and there. There were a few players that, looking at that game, that incident, other than Dontre, Marcus, and Royce, there were about three other players that I saw in that film that were shoving as well and throwing. One of them threw, I don't know the guy's number, but he threw a punch as well. They weren't ejected at all. And, you know, Alcala brings up a great point because the Big Ten did review this. They did look at the video and decide, hey, you know, those three players, they sat out, you know, the second half or whatever. They've suffered enough, I guess, and decided to basically what my mom did when I was a bad kid. When I would go outside to play when I wasn't supposed to, my mom would give me sometimes a verbal lashing and say, hey, don't do that again. That's basically what the Big Ten did in this situation. And I think they totally dropped the ball in this regard. I don't know. At least, now, I don't think that these players, I want to say this because I don't think that, you know, the players, just looking at the players, you know, they were ejected out the game, Dontre, Marcus, and Royce. Specifically Dontre and Marcus, because they play on OSU. They're playing in the Big Ten Championship game this Saturday. I don't think those players should sit out the entire game. Just looking at the magnitude of this game, you're talking about, it's not every day you get to a Big Ten Championship game, but something should at least happen where they sit out a half at least. What do you guys think?
Well, especially Marcus Hall.
Oh, yeah, he's flipping birds as he goes out.
He's kicking trash cans. He's, you know, having a tirade on the sideline in addition to throwing a punch on the field.
Right.
It just seems like something has to be done, but, you know, the Big Ten apparently established earlier this season that, you know, twisting face masks and doing that kind of stuff, it's not going to get you in any trouble. I mean, you just have to go back to Taylor Lewan during the Michigan-Michigan State game to see that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But when you have, you know, like you said, there are clearly more than just
clearly more
three punches thrown or three players
52.
Really getting into it.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
Right.
So you'd have to think they saw something. I don't think they would do anything to jeopardize Ohio State's bid to a national championship, though.
That's basically,
I mean, they are
the
conference's golden goose. Mm-hmm. They have a chance to maybe restore the reputation a little bit of the league. They're not going to suspend two of their better players. You know, two important players. Marcus Hall is an important player.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Dontre Wilson
Very important
is
players.
An X factor in the slot. So they're not going to, you know, take those players out of the game, of the biggest game of the year, of the showcase game of the Big Ten, with a shot to play for the national championship.
Right. Now, I want to read something. This is from Big Ten.org, the Big Ten Conference Agreement, Section 10.01. States in part that, quote, the Big Ten Conference expects all contests involving a member institution to be conducted without compromise to any fundamental element of sportsmanship, including integrity of the competition, civility toward all, and respect, particularly toward opponents and officials. The conference office also issued a public reprimand of the Ohio State football coaching staff for failing in its duty to effectively manage the process of escorting an ejected student athlete from the playing field in the locker room. So many things. If you're looking at 10-01, is totally a violation of Section 10-01, and nothing was done. I believe we have a caller on line two. Mark, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Good, Al. Hey, thanks for taking my call here. Hey, I agree with everything you guys have said completely, you know. I think what it comes down to is, as you said, that the Big Ten is embarrassed by the publicity that it gets for being a weak conference. Ohio State's only has a shot to win the national championship, so they don't want anything to interfere with them getting to that game. If you look at, there was somebody that wrote an article, I forget who it was, just a day or two ago, about examples of players flipping the bird to audiences in the pro football. And in three or four instances, the player was fined, you know, like $10,000 to $20,000. And so flipping the bird for Marcus Hall was left completely unpunished by Delaney in the Big Ten, mm-hmm. because he was kicked out of the game before he flipped off the crowd. And so, therefore, he got zero punishment for flipping off the crowd. And that is not what the pros, how they handle it. So, you know, it's just obvious that Delaney has only that intent to give OSU a chance to get to that title game as best as possible. He completely whiffed on the one chance he had to, you know, show that the Big Ten and football is football. Instead of giving some credence to his comments about sportsmanship, he completely undermined his own comments, which, you know, you now know that his statements are nothing but empty words. His actions tell us that, you know, he's a sham. I don't really care either way. I think Marcus Ray is an important player, but the guy that stepped in for him played pretty well by all we can tell. So I don't think it really would have helped Michigan State's cause that much. I don't know. But I think that the real villain in this case is Delaney himself for, you know, just being a weak sister about this. You can understand how Urban Meyer, in a sense, wouldn't do it because his thing is he wants to win a game.
Yeah,
but Delaney's supposed to he's supposed to be the one that's enforcing sportsmanship, and he just flat out blew it. So that's my comment, guys. Thanks.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mark, for your call. Yeah, I think Mark makes a very, very good point there. I mean, if you're in Urban Meyer's shoes, I mean, you talk about the Big Ten championship game coming up. We all know Urban Meyer is a very competitive individual, you know, the streak and everything. From his standpoint, it being Urban Meyer at that too. I mean, I wasn't surprised that he really didn't do anything to punish his players. He gave them a verbal lashing, and there you have it. But for Delaney and the Big Ten to look at this, and I just read, you know, Section 10-02. This was a complete violation of that rule. Well, 01, excuse me. This was a complete violation of that section, and something should have been done, but considering the circumstances, considering where Ohio State is, nothing was done.
Yeah, the biggest problem I have is that, you know, the Big Ten takes a lot of flack for not having, the best product on the field. You know, they're one of the, you know, they're such a weak conference, all that stuff. But one of the things that the Big Ten likes to do is puff its chest and say we are classier, cleaner. You know, we are a morally superior conference.
Right.
And then this comes out, and it leaves Delaney and company no leg to stand on.
Right.
I mean, where is that, you know, great moral strength if you're letting a guy, you know,
just flip the
walk
bird
out with the double bird? It's like he's like a wrestling heel.
Exactly.
I mean,
he's like, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, going back into the locker room.
Yeah, like I don't smell what The Rock is cooking at all.
Not at all. Alex, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, even with the SEC network, ESPN's new SEC network, exactly what you guys have been saying. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's all about maybe the venue and selling out those seats, so I don't really get it.
Yeah, yeah. And the conference, you know, came out with the statement. I mean, they came out and reviewed the video, reviewed everything that took place. And, I'll have to double-check on Mark's comments about, you know, if a player is ejected, I guess anything after that doesn't take
fair
heed
game.
Or anything.
Just
it's just
go
fair,
crazy,
you can go,
guys.
Just go do whatever you want. You can just if, as long as after that ejection happens, you can, you know, cause a ruckus out there.
Right.
I don't know. I have to check the validity of that. But, you know, if it is, if that is true, That rule needs to be changed ASAP.
Yeah, it does.
You can't just walk out of a game and just flip the bird off to the crowd. Of course, the crowd. Who knows what the Michigan fans were saying to Marcus? You know, as he walked out. At the same time, man, you got to compose yourself. You know, you're an athlete out there. You gotta know wherever you go in any sport, fans are going to bash you. You're going to get called names. You can't just go flipping the bird out.
I mean, that's why the fans are there.
Right, that's what they're there. They paid their money. They can do that. Yeah. They have a right to do that. So, but yeah, I thought the Big Ten totally dropped the ball. But hey, you know, just like Max Buller said, as Brian alluded to at the beginning of the hour when we talked to him about the presser, yesterday's presser, Michigan State wants to play them at full strength. They got what they asked for, and this is going to be a very, very good game, I think. I'm looking forward to it, guys. We got 4 minutes left. Pistons and Heat last night. Impressive, right? What do you think?
Very.
Very impressive.
Very impressive.
You know what? I'm still sticking to my guns. Still don't like Rodney Stuckey. I think Stuckey needs to be traded.
But he's playing so well off the bench.
He's playing very, very well.
He's perfect for that.
Yeah, he is. He is perfect for that right now. He's playing very, very well. But I tell you what, there was a stretch, though. I watched that entire game. There was a stretch late in the fourth where I believe the Heat cut it to 3 points. Stuckey was out there and had two critical turnovers. I'm sitting there, and I tweeted out. You can go to my Twitter page right now saying, leave it up to Stuckey, LOL. And I got about 5 retweets on it. So there you have it, though. But the Pistons, they get a big win. Singler coming out and just draining three after three after three.
Yeah.
Singler is a very, very good player. I think he'll be very good down the stretch for the Pistons. I thought Brandon Jennings, I mean, he's looking for some revenge after what happened the last season to the Bucks in the playoffs in Miami Heat. He was great. Overall, I think it was the best that I've seen the Pistons play this entire season.
Yeah, and it's exactly what you want going forward because they had scoring from everybody. I think they had 7 players in double figures or something like that. If they get that kind of balanced attack and they actually commit themselves to playing defense, when you look at the East, they could be a 3 seed.
It's weak right now. The East is very weak right now.
The East is pathetic.
Terrible.
You have Miami at 14-4,
yeah.
Indiana at 16-2, and literally no one else with a winning record.
That's it. That's it. I believe Indiana, they got they lost to Portland
the other night. Yeah.
I believe.
And Portland is good.
Yeah, Portland's a very, very good team. I think the Pistons, they sit at 6th in the East now.
Yeah, and they're at 8-10. Washington's at 9-9. Atlanta's at 9-10. Boston is at 8-12, leading the worst division maybe in the history of the NBA. But it's like the season is there for the taking. They could have a very nice playoff run, set themselves up with some momentum going forward.
I agree.
It could be a team on the rise. It's there for the taking.
It is there for the taking. I think they're definitely going to make the playoffs this season. And now Brooklyn, if you haven't heard, Brooklyn Nets assistant coach, former assistant coach now, Lawrence Frank, his role has been reduced by head coach Jason Kidd now.
That guy, he makes money for not coaching teams.
For not coaching teams, I know, right?
I think he makes like $9 million a year for not coaching
for doing
two
nothing.
NBA teams. Yeah. That is awesome.
And Jason Kidd said, I believe there was a clash of philosophical ideas. But anyway, all right. Well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharp, Matt Lucky, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKR. Thanks to Brian Calloway of the Lansing State Journal for joining me. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, Current Sports TV every Wednesday night. We'll be taping tonight. Coach Steve Fenimore, head coach of the East Lansing boys varsity basketball team, will be joining me. Sign up online and be a part of the audience at WKAR.org. I look forward to seeing all of your faces tonight. As always, take care, have a fantastic day, and be easy, people.